All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is October 30th, 2023, the month that just keeps on giving. I guess it is Halloween Eve. Tomorrow, I think, is trick-or-treating. So, yeah, everyone should be excited about that. I know my kids are definitely excited. My kids are at that age, you know, it's like the, you know, maybe this might be the last year. I don't know. We'll have to see, but always exciting time of the year. Beautiful time as far as weather goes. It's absolutely gorgeous here on the East Coast. Hope it's super awesome wherever you were at. It is Monday. Back to the grind. I'm off today. I'm actually not working. Didn't have anything to do today. Really don't have much to do today. Just some chores and junk. I've got to, I've got some work I have to do over at another house, and I've just got a few things to do. But, man, I went to the grocery store this morning. You know, I've shared before, we are a one-income family. And one of the things that come with being a one-income family is that you're broke. You're broke a lot. And it's not that we're broke. We just can't buy a lot of fun things. Right. And it's just such a weird time. It's, you know, I shared in the podcast the other day, you know, all of this is based on fear. I think about my whole life has been based on fear. And it's crazy when, at least for me, when I started to understand what the role fear plays in my life and how it's really been there the whole time. I mean, as far as I remember as being a kid, I was always afraid of something. And some of the worst periods of my life were school, you know, teenagers, young before being a teenager, always full of fear. And I remember just the passive-aggressive tone of humanity is like, you know, if you don't do this, this is your outcome, right? I remember, if you don't go to college, you'll be a ditch digger or work at McDonald's. And I used to, you know, I think it was all funny at the time, but what a real passive-aggressive environment we lived in. I don't know, maybe that's good. I mean, I seem to be fine, but it's just weird because when I'm afraid, when I'm in fear, when I think I'm not getting something, when I'm worried that all hell is going to break loose, you know, shit wears on you and you don't realize it. And I know for me at least, you know, it's under, you know, obviously I can't, if I put alcohol in my mouth, I cannot stop drinking. But if I allow fear to run my life, I can't stop thinking. Yes. Yes, a little Creed this morning. Hope everybody wake up. It's going to be a beautiful day. But yeah, it is weird. It is a, it's weird when, at least for me, no, I wouldn't say weird. It's just, it's an eye-opening moment for me when I look back at my life and how much fear has run my whole life. And, you know, today as a person that's completely aware of it, I've seen it. I've been told. I've learned all about it. I still live in fear, right? I still live in fear. And, you know, like I started this whole thing off, you know, we are a one-income family. And we have just about enough money to do, to cover all of the important things that we need to cover that keep us living, right? Electric and some of the fun things in life, having Wi-Fi and gasoline and food. All those things seem to be covered, but you know, there's some little things in there that, you know, sometimes are hard to give up. And that's the struggle. And, you know, you hate to be a money miser, right? I'm the guy, I'm the leader, right? I'm the captain of the ship. You know, I went to the grocery store this morning. And, you know, these are the little things that can absolutely set a person off. I mean, it set me off. I don't want to go pick up a drink over it, but man, I lost my serenity this morning, right? I go to the grocery store. We were going to make chili. We're going to have chili tonight. I go to the grocery store. I'm buying like cans of tomatoes, you know. I think the total, first of all, what the fuck is up with the cost of living? Holy shit. I could not imagine being a younger person right now. Wow. Talk about fucking being afraid. I mean, I bought basically just cans of tomatoes, some cans of beans, some tomato sauce, I think a little thing of paste. It was $20. $20 freaking. And I run, you know, I have Apple Pay. I, you know, do the Apple Pay. It's like declined. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, right away I'm freaking out a little bit. $19 and it's been declined. And so I'm like, oh, I must have done it wrong. So I did it again, declined. Oh, freak. So I'm like, you know, first of all, I'm annoyed. I'm embarrassed, right? I mean, it was early in the morning. So nobody's even there, but I still have to go. I'm like, I got to run out to my car and grab my wallet because I usually use just Apple Pay, which is on my phone. I have other cards in my car. And so I ran out to the car and grabbed a, I don't know, I think the salon card or something and paid for it. But I, you know, I called my wife. I'm like, where's all our money? You know, I mean, I know I do payroll today. Today is, I have to do payroll, which means I had to pay myself. I am the one employee of the salon, so I have to send it over to payroll, and then they obviously send it over to the bank. But, you know, this is the week where times are tight. And so I'm like, what the fuck's up with our money? And my wife's like, there should be money. And I'm like, I can't even buy $20 worth of crap. So fear, inconvenience creates arrogance. What is arrogance? When we start to say and act like we run from a different set of rules. And sometimes when I get that way, when fear consumes me, right? Because when I get afraid, then I become inconvenient, or I become inconvenienced, excuse me. And then all of a sudden, you know, my attitude changes. All of a sudden, my serenity's out the window and I become arrogant. My buddy Matt, guys like you and me are arrogant. And I laugh. What the fuck's that mean? You know, we run by a different set of rules. And I absolutely do. You know, typically I wouldn't call my wife bitching about money, but this morning, due to the inconvenience that I was experiencing, I'm like, what the fuck's up with our money? And we're good. Everything's fine. But that is something that I wasn't aware of when I came to this program, right? I have a drinking problem, man. I drink too much. And, you know, I went to the meeting last night. Great meeting, guys. Celebrated 1 year. Obviously, that is amazing. Good job, brother. But man, the theme is always, it's alcohol's fault. Alcohol's fault. Alcohol did this. And I get it. Right. But this is not, at least where I'm at today. You know, I mean, early on in the program, early on in my recovery, absolutely 100% alcohol's fault. Stay away from alcohol. Keep a couple miles between me and alcohol. Everything, the whole reason I'm here, all the problems I have are all about alcohol. And that's great. It's great. Live like that. That's important. But over time, you know, over time, we forget how bad alcohol is, right? We we're not reminded on a daily basis how awful it is. We start to have these memories of having a good time and having fun, and we start to forget. And that's exactly what happened to me. Stop being alcohol's fault. It just started me being a bad drinker. You can do better, right? You can be better at this. The whole story, the whole, you know, everything that happened on that fateful day, right, starts to fade away. And we're just left with new memories that self-centered guy Tom starts to create. And that's where it becomes dangerous. And, you know, I had to learn this isn't alcohol's fault, right? This started with fear. And, you know, I just have to keep reminding myself of that. And so today, you know, I was a little afraid. And it is a scary world out there. I mean, it's on top of all the other dumb shit that I'm not getting in my life. You know, then you have the whole, you know, we got wars going on, right? We got presidential elections going on. We've got people that can't communicate with one another anymore. We can't discuss anything, right? I can't, like this podcast. I'm doing this podcast from a secret location because if I do this podcast and mention people like Robert F. Kennedy or crazy words, I start getting emails and texts from people telling me what a bad person I am and threatening, you know, the people that, you know, where I was doing my podcast before the old studio, you know, him getting emails saying, you know what, this guy's talking. It's like, what the fuck? How do we not be afraid? Right. And then we got business. Right. And when's business going to fall out? You know, I'm running as lean and mean as I possibly can. And, you know, I'm looking at the bank statements this morning. I'm like, am I working? Where the fuck's all the money going? What's going on? And so, man, what a scary time. Right. And then how do you feel? I mean, you could also be like, you know what, man, that's not my world. Stick our head in the sand, not pay attention. That's tough, too. Right. That's tough, too. So, I don't know. It's just crazy. It is crazy. And I think the sooner I, at least, can figure out that, you know, fear is the least thing that self likes, right? Because I am a self-centered person with a deficiency in God, and which means that I want what I want. And I'm a very self-centered person, so I don't have a lot of God in my life. And when I don't have a lot of humility, self runs rampant. No God, it's a free-for-all. And this morning, I let God stay in the car, and it was a free-for-all. And I got very annoyed, and I was full of fear, and I'm like, how are we going to survive? What about our kids? You know, we have another house that we rent, and I was like, you know, I've always had this idea. I want to save this house. I'm going to leave this house for, it's just a little house down in Rehoboth. But I'm like, I want to leave this house for the boys, you know, so they can have some generational wealth, right? To me, that just seems so, I guess it's really my ego and my pride. You know, as a dad, I want to leave my kids something. I don't want to leave this world broke. I definitely don't want to leave this world a financial burden on anybody else, right? I mean, at least break even. But I've always had this fantasy, me and my ego have had this fantasy that one day I leave the boys and Teresa money, right? I wanted to work hard, save a lot of money, and then pass it on to my children to make their lives easier, right? But man, you know, as we go on, you know, like for instance, this house that we rent, you know, we had people renting the house and they've moved out. And I'm like, do I want to set myself up for this again? You know, when my first wife and I had a rental property up in Newark and rented it out to people, great people, right? We're all going through shit, right? Life's tough for all of us. We rented to these people. They're great people. And about 6 months into it, they just stopped paying the rent. And literally, you know, I'd go over there and I'd be like, hey, what's up with the rent? Well, they had like a new motorcycle, all the bells and whistles of life. And I'm like, how come you have all this crap and I have nothing, right? Why aren't you paying your rent? It was brutal. And I'm not going to say that's why I started drinking back then, but I will say it didn't help. I had never felt as powerless at that moment. And it was really, really rough. And there's nothing like having someone live in your house and not pay the rent. And now we've just gone through this whole pandemic stuff. And, you know, the government's like, hey, we're not kicking anybody out. People love that idea. I'm just so afraid of that happening again that I just, part of me wants to sell this house. And, but I'm like, you know, I've been, you know, my dream has always been to save the house for the boys. You know, if you watch the news, you hear about it. It's hard. You know, my parents' generation, you know, they all had great jobs. They had they had retirement packages. They had 401ks. I mean, the work and the workers really did a lot, work together a lot more. And today, we don't have those things. And it's harder and harder for us to make money. It's hard to save it, right? And it's hard to hope that we can pass it on to our kids. We're barely making it ourselves. And so our generation isn't the generation that's spending a lot of money. So the problem is that the poor are getting poorer, and obviously the rich are getting richer. And my kids don't need to be rich, but I would like to be able to leave them something. So I'm having another one of these conundrums, right? I'm like, well, shit, if we sell this house, I want to save the money. But it's probably healthy. It's probably good for me. But I feel like it's just been a lot of doing without to survive. And that's probably the way it should be. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Because my fear is that if I sold this house and had money, we'd spend it all. And I don't want to do that. And I don't know. It's fucked up. It's a fucked up time. It's a scary time. I'm fucking scared. And I have a job. We have so many wonderful things going for us right now. And I'm scared. So I can imagine what it's like out there for a lot of other people. And, you know, it's just a scary time. And when it comes down to is, what am I not getting? And it's always important, you know, for us, it's, you know, we need a house, right? We need shelter. We need food. And we need, you know, utilities to keep us warm. And probably a car, right? But everything after that is sort of, did I say food? Do we need food? Everything after that is just a luxury, right? And that's one of the things I yelled at my wife about this morning. Sorry, honey. But like, how many freaking times are you going to Dunkin' Donuts? That shit adds up. And she's like, I won't go anymore. I go, I don't want to be the guy that has to be, you know, the bearer of all bad news, right? How come I feel like I'm the captain of the ship and everybody's like, what do you mean we're heading towards the rocks? I'm like, the rocks are right there. Oh, okay. I'll turn. Didn't you see them? And the problem is it's just a fucked up time to be broke. And, yeah. And I hope I don't sound like a total whiner because I'm not meant to. I don't want to be. But listen, man, I'll celebrate 15 years in December. And, it's been a long time since I've had a drink or a drug. And I'm scared, right? I feel like I'm absolutely in touch with this program. I feel like I'm absolutely in touch with what works and what doesn't work. And I'm still here in this moment of fear. And it's real. And so what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about it? First thing I love my buddy Matt. You know, I love you, Matt. And he would always tell me, man, and I've said it plenty of times. He goes, hey, brother, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it'll all work out. And so let's check that off because I am not smoking crack and paying for hookers. That's a good thing, right? I'm not gambling. There's no secret things going on behind the scenes that's sucking up our money. This is just a spending issue. The problem is also we're coming up on Christmas. You know, I was supposed to do, real quick, sidebar, off ramp. I got to paddle this weekend, paddled yesterday. Oh, what a freaking amazing adventure that was. Ocean was a little rough, but so awesome. The OC6 canoe, ocean canoeing that I do is, you know, it really started in Hawaii, in Tahiti. You know, these guys, they use these long boats with these amas and, you know, to paddle from one island to another. And they're amazing boats. It takes a lot of strength and coordination and, you know, getting everybody together to do it. And it's just an amazing thing. And I follow some of these guys If you go on YouTube and just type in OC6 and watch what these guys do, they have these change races where these guys are jumping out of the boat and new guys are jumping in. It's just, it's awesome. And but one of the cool things, you know, as they do these ocean runs out in Hawaii, you know, the ocean's really crazy, you know, out there, big swells and waves. And yesterday, we've clearly never had those conditions. And if we did, we're probably at least, some of us might be. I mean, I could probably do it, but, you know, we're a pretty, I think our club is pretty neutral as far as that goes, how much risk we want to put out there. So, you know, in really bad conditions, we would probably pass. But these guys in Hawaii are just killing it. And so yesterday, we had a good boat. We had a boat of six, all experienced paddlers, all could hang. And, man, we were out in the ocean, and the ocean was, it was active, right? It was some big swells, and it was pretty, it had some, it was a little choppy, but it was just great. And I'm just so in love with that sport. It's so hard, right? And I can have so much fear over it and anxiety. And, you know, I have to work myself to be like, all right, it's just paddling, dude. You know, we're just, but man, what an adventure it was yesterday. So grateful for that. Finally starting to feel better. Shared that the other day. Clean and sober off of all medication and nose spray today. I'm probably pick up a chip. Been pretty toxic with Advil and Theraflu and nose spray. And oh my God. You know, and the other thing I was going to say was that I'm just so grateful that I found sobriety and that I had time. I found it soon enough that I had time that I could start to really appreciate and have gratitude for this body, this human body that I've been given, and that I have a chance to really take care of it today and treat it 100 times better than I ever did, right? Which is really nothing, right? Just not putting poison in it. And taking care of it and exercising it and feeding it, right? And trying to keep it out of bad situations. But this vehicle, I didn't give a shit about myself early on in my life. I just didn't give a fuck. And today, I'm just so grateful that I can get up, walk, right? Use the restroom, right? Use the bathroom, eat, right? Work, communicate, and adventure, right? Explore. I get to explore, and I'm just, you know, I never treated myself very well back in those days, and, you know, recovery has allowed me to have a second chance at my life, and I'm just so grateful for that. It's just awesome. Yeah, I took about too many off-ramps. I forget what I was talking about, but I know it all started with fear, and fear is, you know, it's a big deal. And the steps of this program help us remove it, right? You know, last night at the meeting, the guy was sharing, and, you know, he was so emotional. I've seen this guy, you know, I've seen him celebrate. I think his anniversary was at the beginning of October, but the meeting I was at last night, I think they do the last Sunday of the month to do anniversaries. So, but I've seen him speak a couple times, and he's so emotional. And I remember when I came into the program, my life had sucked so bad for so long that when I started to remove, you know, because when I was a drinker, every day I woke up with fear, you know, or regret or shame, maybe all the same thing. Maybe that's three words that mean the same thing. I don't know, but I had all of it. I would wake up, I would be horrified from the night before. I'd be mortified for how I felt, and I would be in fear of what was coming up for the day, right? There's nothing like waking up drunk and knowing you have a full day's worth of work, because that is a huge inconvenience, right? And so just living in that fear and that rawness, and when I finally put the bottle down, all of these emotions started to come out, and I was so emotional. I remember, you know, this is silly, but I remember, I'd almost start crying when I would think of like a squirrel getting run over by a car. I think I've said that before. I don't know why. I'm not a huge fan of squirrels. You know, maybe I might have been I know before, prior to getting sober, if I hit a squirrel, I really didn't care, right? I wouldn't, I wouldn't seek them out, but if something got run over, dumb squirrel, right? But when I got sober, oh my God, I remember we ran over a squirrel and I almost started to cry. It was just this whole rush of emotions that I had been, you know, burying for so long. And, you know, it's amazing. It's just amazing what self-centered fear, a life of self, can do to a person. And it was great to see this guy celebrate. And, you know, he was just on the verge of crying, you know, all night, you know, and just with joy and just being with grace, right? But the topic of God came up and the explanation of God and how God has done this and how God has done that. And I just feel like as time goes on and we become, I know for me at least, as I started to recognize more and more, it wasn't important to me what people thought of how I had a relationship with God, right? It's one of the tough things because I think for each of us, as we, you know, put days between our last drink and today, you know, and a new emotion start to come up and the fear starts to wave, everybody reacts differently, right? Everybody reacts differently. And it's tough to, you can't say, hey, man, this is how it's going to be. You just have to sit back and watch it and let it enjoy watching people just feel again and be part of, right? I mean, just coming to meetings and being part of a group would almost make me cry. It was just so new. And I was so down and pushed in the dark so far that it was incredible. And that was it was an amazing meeting last night. So grateful for him. I love seeing these guys. But, you know, this is when the work starts. I hate to say it, right? The crying ends up stopping, right? The emotions, the raw emotions fade away. And, you know, I've always said the hardest thing about this program or getting sober is that we put days between our last drink, right? We put days between our last drink and we start to forget. And that's when these steps really start to play a role in our lives. And I think he shared last night that he'd worked all the steps in the first year. And I thought that was fantastic. But I know for me, at least, my life and these steps has evolved over time and it continues to evolve. You know, when I was in the program for the first couple of years, the word fear never even came up. Never even came up. Never even played a role. Had no idea that fear was a thing. And today it's all I think about. You know, what's your problem? What are you afraid of? What are you not getting? What's the inconvenience? Why are you becoming arrogant? What, you know, why are you letting go of the hand of God? Right? You can't be full of fear and have a relationship with God. They don't go together because fear is self, right? Fear is a luxury that self serving people get. But when you live a life of humility, if you live a life in God's hands, right, holding the hand of God, there you shouldn't have any fear, right? Those are the extremes, right? One, you're just a complete heathen, and two, you're so humble living on the mountain, right, with those monks, right? There's those two extremes, right? But you have, unfortunately, I'm not living on the mountain, not that into it, sorry. But I have to still be able to find, you know, a place in there where I can still at least look at the mountain, right? Still hope to be part of the mountain, but I'm not perfect. And, you know, shit happens like today. And today I have to, you know, this is all basically about fear of not having enough money, not being able to survive, not being able to live, which is really stupid because I'm 55 years old and that's never happened, right? I've never slept under a bridge, right? I've never been homeless. Doesn't mean it couldn't happen. But history shows that I will figure it out and eventually, you know, if I had to get a second job, I could always do that. It's always possible, but I don't know. Have to stop eating avocado toast. That's a joke. Let me see here. See if we can read a daily reflections, and then I will be out of your hair. Hope everyone's having a great day. I hope some of this makes sense. All right, October 30th. Live and let live. Never since it began has Alcoholics Anonymous been divided by a major controversial issue, nor has our fellowship ever publicly taken sides on any questions in an embattled world. This, however, has been no earned virtue. It could almost be said that we were born with it. So long as we don't argue these matters privately, it's a cinch we never shall publicly. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 176. Do I remember that I have a right to my opinion, but that others don't have to share it? That's the spirit of live and let live. The Serenity Prayer reminds me, with God's help, to accept the things I cannot change. Am I still trying to change others? That's a good point right there. Am I still trying to change others? When it comes to courage to change the things I can, do I remember that my opinions are mine and yours are yours? Am I still afraid to be me? When it comes to wisdom to know the difference, do I remember that my opinions come from my experience? If I have a know-it-all attitude, aren't I being deliberately controversial? Absolutely. That's very, you know, it's important in the times we live in right now. You know, my dad was over last night, and, you know, I tried to talk and watch controversial things with him, usually presidential stuff or government or country kind of things. And we got into it last night a little bit, and I have to remind myself, he's him and I'm me, right? And I told him last night, that's, you know, that's your responsibility. You're going to have to learn that, right? It's our responsibility to figure these things out. I think we've been relying on people to figure it out, and it's sort of becoming our responsibility again if we want the truth, right? And so I can't explain to him the world, right? I don't even know, but I can't explain to him my version. I have to be cool with what I think, and I have to be cool with what he thinks. And sometimes we disagree, but we have to agree that we can disagree. And I love him, and it's all good. Listen, that's 30 minutes. I apologize. I hope everyone's having a great day, and I will catch you later. Bye.